And good morning. We welcome you in to a Thursday edition of My Car Guru. We've got the guru himself right here in studio, Lenny Lawson. Good morning.
You know, I was at the grocery store the other day, and they had plenty of chips.
I don't think that's the chip shortage.
They
keep saying this chip shortage, and you walk down the aisle, and you see
Lay's.
Yeah, Pringles, all kinds of different
ones. Pringles, Cape Cod is your favorite.
Yeah, sure.
You like the kettle? The kettle, the
I
crunchy?
I like the hard chips, although they can be a little hard on your teeth, especially my jaw teeth that have got the caps, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Crowns, I guess they call them.
Right.
Can be a little hard on those, but they are crunchy.
I like the barbecued kettle chips.
Yeah, man.
Do you like the low-fat?
Well, I can eat the low-fat
chips.
I don't know that I've specifically made...
They don't taste as good, do they?
They don't, no. They don't. And I don't eat them that much to worry too much about it.
I wish they did have a potato chip shortage.
It'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
I would probably, you know.
Although there'd be some people
lose weight,
complain about it.
No, we're not. You know, the chip shortage that is affecting the car industry is affecting the world, according to CNBC. Do you believe what they say, CNBC?
I never watch CNBC. So
okay, well, anyway, chips are in everything. From PlayStation 5s and toothbrushes, even now.
Even toothbrushes.
Yeah. Washing machines, alarm clocks. But apparently there's not enough to go around. It shows no signs of abating anytime soon. Glenn O'Donnell, Vice President, Research Director at advisory firm Forrester, which I've never heard. I thought that was a Subaru. Believes the shortage could last until 2023.
Well, there's such a demand for them. Like you said, they're in everything just about now, unless you just have something that's completely manual that doesn't need to be microprocessed.
Mm-hmm. They've actually named the crisis now.
Have they?
Yeah. It's called Chipageddon.
Why am I not surprised about that? Chipageddon.
You know, I'm not surprised they didn't call it Chipgate. You know, because every crisis in Washington always has a gate after it.
If it was just in Washington, I'm sure they would. They'd call it Chipgate.
But it's called Chipageddon.
It's Chipageddon because it's national.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's saying that demand will remain high, supply will remain constrained. And so that's why they think that it's going to take a while. It's just basically the unstoppable desire to instrument everything. You think that people don't even want to use a tape measure anymore. You've got to have some kind of electronic thing with a laser beam.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, just go to Lowe's and look at all the tools that used to be, you know, even a power screwdriver has microprocessors in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure that it changes the tension, you know, the twisting force that makes it work better. But it's not just autos, but... It is impacting autos in a big way. The world's largest chip manufacturer is a company called Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, or TSMC. They said earlier this month that they think it will be able to catch up with automotive demand by June. This is June.
Yep,
we're into June. I just wonder if they're thinking June of next year. I hope not.
Yeah. They've still got a few days, well, many days left in this month to catch up.
But they say that the effect of the delayed product, I mean, this has really put a lot of people in the world hurt. It's not just, you know, because car makers, manufacturers, they just assemble stuff. You know, when you go to the Dearborn truck plant, for example, and you go see Ford's being, you know, rolling down the assembly line, just about every single thing except the engines are built by somebody else, and it's coming in, you know, from by train and plane and truck just in time for, you know, that particular vehicle to be built.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have no inventory. They have small inventories, but it's very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ripple effect of a chip shortage is that all of these other people who have no problem with production capacity. I mean, they can make widgets. You know, you got a widget maker, but he can't sell his widgets now because they can't, the manufacturer will not order you know, like Ford or GM or whatever, won't order a big inventory and warehouse it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're going to see some changes in that, because this is really that there may be a change in the industry to say, okay, in order to avoid this kind of thing in the future, we're going to have to change the way we build cars. You know what I'd like to see? Let's simplify things. Everything does not have to, you know, be electronic. I mean, I don't really want to roll down my windows, but you know, whether or not I push the thing down and it goes all the way down or it just goes partially down, there shouldn't be a computer chip necessary for that, right?
No, no.
But we're spoilt, as they say in East Tennessee.
Spoilt.
We're spoilt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to have all this technology and we just keep demanding more. And so everything is going to be made. It's going to have a chip in it.
Well, you know, the little Mazda that I drive, Mazda 3, it's got manual windows. I don't mind rolling those down.
Oh, yeah. That's too much work.
You think that's too much?
No, it's really not. I was driving my Bronco the other day and just thinking about, you know, there's not a single computer chip in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The transmission's manual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I have no power steering, got three on the tree,
mm-hmm.
you know. My Bronco doesn't even have a radio in it. That's kind of a good thing, too, even though I'm talking on the radio right now.
What do you sing to yourself when you're going down the road in it? Or?
No, I just listen to the sounds of the motor and
yeah.
the wind mm-hmm. blowing through my
mm-hmm.
graying and disappearing hair.
Okay.
That's okay, though, isn't it? I mean, we don't always have to be entertained.
We don't, no.
And, you know, sometimes it's just better not to have all those distractions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I enjoy the lack of technology sometimes. It's one of the things I enjoy about old cars is that it's nostalgic,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
So anyway, this thing will, there's plenty of potato chips, so don't worry about that.
Thank goodness.
That would be a crisis for a lot of folks.
It would be.
Right?
Yeah.
I could live without.
What else would you eat with your
Doritos.
Sandwich, you know?
Just go to Doritos.
Well, Doritos are chips too, though.
You think?
Tortilla chips.
Well, I guess you're
just not true. Potato chips.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
My bad.
Sure.
All right. We'll take our first break and be back here in just a momento.
All right. Well, we're back here on a Thursday morning edition of My Car Guru with Lenny Lawson.
You know, there's certain things in an engine that are more important than others. I mean, they all have to work together
mm-hmm.
in harmony. I remember when the Mazda RX-7 first came out. You remember that car? What was unique about it?
Rotary engine.
Rotary engine, mm-hmm. right. It had three internal moving parts mm-hmm. in the engine.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I think a V6 engine, they would compare it to a V6 engine. It had like 200 and some odd internal moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
Things going up and down.
And this had three.
Side to side, and it had three. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the simplicity of it was a great concept, and it worked really well once they had it fairly perfected. But fair perfection means that it only uses a quart of oil every 1,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had a car that was using a quart of oil every 1,000 miles, you would think, I've got a problem,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But with a rotary engine at the time, it actually injected a little bit of oil.
Yeah.
And it needed that for the seals. They were called apex seals. And that was one of the problems on the rotor. If you look at the rotor as it's spinning, it has three points of contact with the wall of the combustion chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And those it just kind of spins around. You've driven a car with a rotary engine, right? Did you ever have an RX-7?
I didn't never had one, but I had driven one.
You know, this 280Z that I was fortunate to get to purchase from a local owner, I hated those cars back in the old days because that was the competitor for the RX-7. I was a Mazda dealer, and I'd say, well, why would anybody buy a 280Z? You know, and it's an inline six-cylinder traditional engine, you know. So, anyway, there's certain things that when they go bad in an engine, they can be devastating. One of those things is called the head gasket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know it seems kind of weird to do a part of a radio show about a head gasket, but it's a very common thing, and it can be devastating in that it can destroy your engine. So the majority of today's engines consist of a four-stroke design that utilizes three different fluids. okay?
Mm-hmm.
Air and fuel, which, you know, gasoline or diesel.
Mm-hmm.
Water / glycol coolant.
Mm-hmm.
And motor oil.
Mm-hmm.
All right? None of these fluids can ever come into contact with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
To ensure that these fluids are properly routed between the different components without ever intermixing, there's something called the head gasket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there are other important gaskets like valve cover gasket, mm-hmm. but typically that's not going to shut you down. You're going to see that leaking, you know, on the outside of the engine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may have a rear main oil seal that's leaking,
mm-hmm.
which over time, if you run out of oil, you're going to destroy your engine. But the head gasket, it's the head of the class.
Very important.
Yeah. So, you know, in automobile engines, the head gasket, it's basically a ringed panel that's placed between the cylinder head and the engine block. And the gasket is put in place as a barrier that prevents these fluids that I'm talking about from leaking into the cylinders. Now, as such, the head gasket is among the most vital components in the combustion chamber. In addition to serving as a barrier to the cylinder, the head gasket blocks off the conduits to the oil and the water. You know, if you look inside your engine block, there's all kinds of little channels and stuff. When you see an engine sitting there, typically you just notice the size of the block, the weight of it, and then
mm-hmm.
the cylinders themselves. You know, if it's sitting on the floor, that's what you notice. But there's lots of little other holes.
Mm-hmm.
And these are passages, you know, that oil passes through, basically, or that coolant passes through to keep the engine cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've got this old Buick that I've been working on that has, we've discovered, has a blown head gasket, very low miles, but you know, now we have to disassemble the top part of the engine and replace those gaskets. As I said, maybe yesterday, I don't know, I'm very hopeful that it's not something more serious, because it could be that I have a cracked block
mm-hmm.
or a cracked head, and the cracked head I can live with better than the cracked block,
mm-hmm.
but I'm hoping that it's just the gasket. But, you know, due to the position of this main gasket between the hot and cold engine components, the head gasket faces a full range of temperatures, from very, very high heat of the combustion chamber to the often colder temperatures of the cooling system. And as the impacts of temperature changes take their toll over time, the head gasket can ultimately bear marks along the surface, and these often develop into leaks, and you have one fluid leaking into the other. So what we have now is when we drive this Buick around, it will barely make it around the block. If the engine is warm, it will barely make it around the block without the hot engine light coming on. See, this doesn't have a temperature gauge. It just has a warning light.
Yeah.
Now most cars have temperature gauges.
Right.
And so what is happening is you've got this superheated combustion chamber, and it is allowing heat of the combustion chamber to get into the cooling system, which is superheating the coolant and causing this severe problem.
Is it a 76, did you say?
It's a 76, yeah.
How, let's say you had to replace that head gasket, how easy is that to find part for you?
Easy.
Find it pretty easy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's no problem to find a new head gasket, even though it's an old vehicle. And you can find, you know, there's lots of companies that make aftermarket, what we call aftermarket parts. You either have OEM, original equipment manufacturer parts, mm-hmm. which would be next to impossible to find,
mm-hmm.
or you have remanufactured or aftermarket parts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably I can order a head gasket from, you know, Advance Auto Parts or O'Reilly's or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you get a leaking head gasket, and it can damage a catalytic converter. It can leak into the engine oil, which can ruin the engine that allows coolant to get into the combustion chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you erode the ability of the oil to protect the engine. And it can cause now what's going on with my car is it's causing a mixture of the coolant and the combustion gases. And the way they found it is they took this gauge that has fluid in it, and they put it over the the radiator. They take the radiator cap off and they just put it right over the radiator hole there on the top of the radiator and run the engine. And if the fluid changes color, then what's happening is their combustion gases are getting into the coolant. And that's why it's overheating so quickly.
Yeah.
So anyway, these are things that you need to be aware of. Sometimes you'll see a blown head gasket will result in, if coolant is actually flowing into the combustion chamber, then you're going to get white smoke coming out. Now, it's not the white smoke that you see in the morning. You know, that's just condensation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see white smoke blowing out of the back of the vehicle when you're going down the road after the engine's warmed up, more than likely you have a head gasket problem.
Yeah. I blew a head gasket one time driving back from Kentucky where my grandparents used to live. And fortunately got all the way back to Gray, right out here at the Gray exit. And it was the old TC3 I told you about, the Plymouth Horizon TC3, and it blew a head gasket and white smoke started barreling out. I mean, it happened suddenly. It just heated up quickly, and it happened. And I just barely was able to get off the exit and get over to a service station to park it, you know.
Well, the key is to turn the vehicle off before it does any damage.
Mm-hmm.
And overheating situations can be caused by a number of different things. You know, your fan could not be working right. You know, you could have a slipping fan belt. Your water pump could give out. You have a thermostat issue. Those are all the inexpensive things that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this head gasket job, you know, it could cost $800 to $1,500. You need a new engine. You know, it could cost $5,000 to $10,000 mm-hmm. for a new engine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have a suspected head gasket issue, a professional technician is going to be able to diagnose it and find it. Now, it took us two or three times. You know, I mean, it took me breaking down on the side of the road before I realized that I had a problem. And then it was about, we just figured we needed to flush the system really good and make sure that it had good coolant in it. And that didn't solve the problem either. Change the thermostat. That didn't solve the problem. So there is this experimentation that has to take place sometime. And then finally we did this this test, and that told us what the problem is. So I've got an appointment in my own shop to have this addressed. So hopefully that'll take care of it. And then we can find a new owner, and they can be happy. And I'm not going to sell a car that has a known problem, you know.
No.
And so I've got this thing on bring a trailer, and I've got to make sure that it gets, before the auction launches, I've got to make sure that this thing will go. And so we'll replace the head gasket, then we'll drive it. I'll probably put a couple hundred miles on the car just to make sure that it's going to hold together. It's too nice to, you know, not take care of that kind of a thing.
76 Buick Electra, right?
225 Landau Custom. It's got the Landau roof. That's a really thick padded roof. But, you know, looking for some owner that will really appreciate it, a big old car. And, you know, here's a car with only 8,000 miles on it.
It's
got a blown head gasket.
That's just wild.
Purchased new in 1976, parked in 1977, and never driven again.
That's nuts. That's just crazy.
It is.
Anyway,
that's nutty thing that people do sometimes.
Sometimes, yep. If you can find it every now and then. All right, we'll take our last break. We'll come back and wrap things up on My Car Guru. And we're back here to wrap up this edition of My Car Guru on this Thursday morning.
Like, when this car's hot or warm, and you can't even drive it for 15 minutes before it overheats, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there are some products out there that called, well, there's one called Block Seal. And, you know, sometimes you'll see it'll say head gasket fix. You'll see these in auto parts store. These are not for a vehicle that will overheat in 15 minutes. You know, these are cars that you know, you can run your car for some time before it's just running hot and it has a very minor leak. Sometimes people will try these chemical alternatives. It's like stop a flat.
Yeah.
You know, and basically you're putting something in the coolant that will go to this particular spot and stop the leak. And sometimes it'll work, but it's not a permanent solution. I'm just not real, you know, the stop a flat, any kind of liquid that you're going to use to put in something, that's kind of a temporary thing. So
yeah, and it seems like a little risky to me. I don't know.
Well, it is.
You know.
I mean, because you don't know when it's going to fail.
True.
I would rather have a piece of metal between me and disaster than some chemicals. So
yeah.
But this is just one of those common things that you will see. You'll see it in the winter too, but you see it a lot more in the summertime, and it can get quite expensive. And do you have to worry about this on a car, you know, relatively new car? I mean, if it's under warranty, you don't have to worry about it at all, because mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen head gaskets blow on brand new cars.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you is, you know, what about newer cars? I mean, do they take longer for a problem like that to rear its ugly head, or
just we don't see it very often?
Yeah,
but we do see it.
Yeah,
and it will cause usually when it's a new car, it ends up being a catastrophic engine failure, and then the manufacturer ends up paying for a whole engine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm driving a new car and I have a blown head gasket, I'm going to request a new engine. You know.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But on a you could buy a car and the person selling it to you has no idea. Like the guy I bought this car from, he didn't know they had a blown head gasket.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not his fault. And I can understand somebody buying a car and then say, "Man, you sold me a car with a blown head gasket." Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't know it. And, you know, that could have happened to anybody. I was just the unlucky one.
Yeah.
And so I'm not even going to tell him.
Yeah, that'd probably make him feel pretty
bad. I don't want to even upset him about it. You know, I'm just going to fix it and move on. I mean, that's what happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if I buy a house and it's got a leaky basement, then they probably knew it. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I've got a car that had a knock in the engine, you know, and they went and found it and they said, "Well, I'm not going to fix it. I'm just going to sell this thing," and they don't disclose that, then that's bad.
That's bad.
But, you know, nobody knew that this was going to happen, so I'm not going to go after him.
Well, you're talking about a 45-year-old car, too, so.
Yeah, I mean, things are going to happen, and so we'll get this fixed. I mean, I hope I don't have to replace the block, but even if I do, that's on me.
Yeah.
Now, right. You may not agree with that, but that's just the way I feel about
it. That's the way he feels. All right, that'll do it for My Car Guru on this Thursday morning. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.